Chapter 3. The Man Who Grew Vegetable Marrows. At lunch, I told my sister Caroline that I would be having dinner at Fernley Park. She was pleased. "Excellent," she said. "You'll hear everything. By the way, what's going on with Ralph?"
"Ralph?"
I was surprised. "There's nothing wrong."
"Then why is he staying at the Three Boars Inn instead of at Fernley Park?" she asked.
I didn't question her information. If Caroline says something, it's usually true.
"Ackroyd told me he was in London," I said.
I had just given away more information than I should have.
"He arrived at the inn yesterday morning," said Caroline, "and he's still there. Last night he was out with a girl." That didn't surprise me. Ralph often went out with women, but why here, in King's Abbot, and not in London? "One of the barmaids?" I asked. "No, he went out to meet someone. I don't know who, but I can guess," said Caroline. "His cousin, Flora Ackroyd." I was shocked. Technically, they weren't cousins, but everyone treated them like family. "They're secretly engaged," said Caroline happily. "Roger Ackroyd doesn't approve, so they meet in secret."
I wasn't sure about her theory, but I didn't argue. To change the subject, I asked about our new neighbour. The house next to ours, called the Larches, had been rented by a stranger. Caroline knew almost nothing about him, only that he was a foreigner and very private. His name was Mr. Porritt. The only thing anyone knew was that he grew vegetable marrows, large vegetables like squash. Caroline was frustrated. She wanted to know his life story, his job, his wife, his past, everything. "My dear Caroline," I said, "he's obviously a retired hairdresser. Look at that moustache."
She disagreed. "Hairdressers have wavy hair. His is straight." We argued a bit more. She once borrowed a garden tool from him and asked if he was French. He said no, and she couldn't think of more questions to ask. Later that day, I went into the garden. While I was pulling weeds, something heavy flew past my head and landed with a squish. A vegetable marrow. I looked up angrily. There, over the wall, was the face of our mysterious neighbour. An egg-shaped head, black hair, big moustaches, and sharp eyes. He spoke with a French accent and quickly apologized. "I am so sorry, monsieur."
I was angry at my marrows and threw one. "I didn't mean to hit anyone. Please forgive me." His words were funny and sincere, and I couldn't stay angry. He continued talking in an emotional way. "Sometimes we work hard for a peaceful life, and then we miss our busy workdays," he said. I agreed. "I once got an inheritance. I could have travelled the world, but I stayed here." "Yes," he said. "We think we want rest, but we miss work. My work was the most interesting in the world, the study of human nature." I smiled. Definitely a hairdresser, I thought.
"He told me about a close friend, not very clever, but dear to him. That friend now lived in Argentina. Then he asked, 'Will you go there?' I could have, but I was greedy. 'I made a bad investment,' I said. He looked serious. 'Porcupine oil fields?' I laughed. 'No, I chose a gold mine in Western Australia.' He looked shocked. 'It is fate,' he said. 'Fate? That I live next to someone who thought of both those things. Do you also like women with auburn hair?' I stared at him. He laughed loudly. 'No, no, I'm joking.'
He handed me a big marrow for my sister and said, 'This has been a good morning.' Then he asked, 'Do you know the handsome young man with dark hair who walks proudly and smiles often?' 'That must be Ralph Peyton,' I said. 'I haven't seen him before.' 'He just came back. He's the adopted son of Mr. Ackroyd.' 'You know Mr. Ackroyd?' I asked. 'Yes, from London. I asked him not to tell anyone about my past work. I like to stay anonymous,' he said proudly. He also knew that Ralph was engaged to Flora. Mr. Ackroyd told me, he explained, but it's not wise to pressure young men into marriage.
I was surprised Ackroyd would share such personal news with someone who might be a hairdresser. Maybe Poirot wasn't one after all. There's something about Ralph I don't understand, he added thoughtfully. Then I heard Caroline call me inside. At home, Caroline told me she'd seen Ackroyd in the village. I stopped him, she said. He had no idea Ralph was here. He said I must be wrong. Me, a mistake. I tried not to laugh. Then he told me Ralph and Flora are engaged. I knew that too, I said. Our neighbour told me. Caroline was surprised, but didn't question me.
I told Ackroyd that Ralph was at the Three Boars, she added. I warned her that sharing information like that could cause problems. Nonsense, she said. He was grateful. She guessed Ackroyd went to find Ralph, but didn't see him. Then she admitted she had walked through the woods and overheard a conversation. She heard Ralph talking to a woman. He was upset and said, "Don't you see? The old man might cut me off. He's angry with me. We need the money. I'll be rich when he dies. He's got loads of money, but he's mean. I don't want him changing his will. Trust me. Don't worry."
Then they heard Caroline and left. She didn't see who the woman was, but thought it might be Flora. "But that doesn't make sense," I said. "I went to the Three Boars to find Ralph. I knew him well. He was charming, handsome, and fun, but careless with money and life. People liked him, even with his flaws. I found him in his room. 'Shepherd,' he said, 'I'm glad to see you. You're the only good thing about this place.' He offered me a drink and sat down, looking serious. 'I'm in a mess,' he said. 'I don't know what to do.' 'What happened?' I asked. 'It's my stepfather. It's not what he's done, it's what he might do.' He didn't explain further. 'I have to handle it alone,' he said. 'I must play a lone hand.'